All right, everybody, welcome back to Master of the Universe podcast. Joey here along with Christopher J and G Money, as Chris has dubbed him, Gabriel. So today is it episode 77, I believe? 77, yeah. So we're doing It from 1990, dude, the classic. And this was kind of my pick. We were kind of going back and forth on what we should do. But before I get into it, dude, what's been going on? What's been going on, Gabe, dude? Where the fuck have you been?
Oh, man, I've been busy as hell.
Killing lizards, I see.
Man, it was the funniest thing. Here I'm at work, and then the wife goes ahead and starts texting me, your son was crying. I was like, why is he crying? Oh. Well, I ended up catching this kid a lizard and a frog that he wanted as pets. So I was like, sure, go ahead and throw them both in the damn tank. Well, all of a sudden, the wife's telling me that he's crying that the damn frog ate the lizard.
Man,
I was like, are you serious?
Fucked up.
Yeah, like half of the body, the picture that she sent me, half of the body is sticking out of the fat-ass frog.
That's so sad, dude, because like, they were like, you were saying that they were there for like 2 months or something like that. They were okay.
Yeah. They hung out. They were roommates for like at least like 2 months. And you know, you got that one fat ass that doesn't want to do shit and just start a lot of shit. Damn, he just ate his roommate.
Man, dude, I didn't know they would eat it. Like, and then he's like a small frog to be eating a big ass lizard. I'm like, he's not even gonna be able to eat him for, you know. I didn't think, but like, fuck it, right?
But oh, yeah. Really.
And CJ, anything going on with you? Watching some shows?
Yeah, man, just been. We're on season 6 of Ray Donovan. We finished the first 3 episodes of that last night. I really want to finish season 6. I mean, I probably will end up seeing the movie, even though I won't have watched 7 because I'm just fucked up like that. But yeah, man, and I'm also excited. I know this isn't. I don't know. Think anyone on here is Powers fans, but I know at least a couple of us on here are Sons of Anarchy fans, and. Oh, God, Ozark fans. So if you are a Sons of Anarchy fan and or an Ozark fan, then you got 2 characters for both shows. You got Shibs, you know, a.k.a. the Scottish-Irish guy, the Sons of Anarchy, the older guy. Mm-hmm. And you got Joseph Sikora, who's he was Tommy Egan in Power. He was the son of the Kansas City mob boss in Ozark. So 2 great actors. I'm really looking forward to Power Book 4.
What the fuck is Power Book 4?
So it's the show Power. So the seven season series Power was it wasn't called it, but essentially it's book 1. Then they made book 2, which is about, you know, Ghost's son.
Oh, it's that crap. It's that crap show Power you're talking about. They're making like another movie. Okay, so
spinoff series.
Oh, okay. As Mark would say, not interested. So of course, Chris has been over with Power. So. I've seen like little things, but you know, not really a go-to, dude. Not something I think about. But I tell you what is something that Chris thinks about, dude, is It. Now, am I wrong, Chris, that you actually saw It growing up?
I did. I felt like that was one of those things that felt like every, I don't know if it was a specific time of year, but they would show it on ABC like I think once a year.
Yeah.
And I mean, I never, in my childhood years, I never saw, like, beginning to end, just straight the whole way through. In my later years, like high school, once I did, and then in 2016, I was at my apartment, I watched it once, you know, the whole way through. But I mean, like, it just, there's key scenes from childhood I remember, and, you know, we'll get over tonight talking about it.
That's right, man. Well, for me, dude, I remember, like, really loving to be scared and seeing this on TV, like just seeing like the previews and you know, like the trailer they would show, and I was like, holy shit, like a fucking clown, you know, like that's all I could say was, you know, like there's a fucking clown, like a horror movie with a clown in it, like that was like the pinnacle. Because, you know, like nowadays, of course, you know, it's like that's the gimmick, but like for me growing up, I was like, holy shit. So I was waiting for it to come out, and then one day I was just like just flipping channels, and there's fucking Georgie getting his fucking arm over in a goddamn sewer. But like I said, yeah, we'll get into it. But Gabe, what's your story with It, dude, growing up, or what's going on with that?
Man, I've seen this damn movie like so many times. I kind of felt like it was just like a, like there was no way I could not watch this. I mean, just growing up, like whenever I felt like there wasn't anything on, and I'm looking through the damn TV guide, you know, and you see this one long strip that says Stephen King's It, And I was like, oh, well, now I know what to kill for a couple of hours. Sure, I'll go ahead and watch that shit. So, yeah, I grew up with it, you know, just watching it from time to time. And, you know, as time kind of passed, you know, I just didn't really watch it that often. But, you know, the only thing that really stuck out, you know, to me was the damn clown.
Yeah.
That damn clown was the only thing that was, like, you know, freaky enough that, you know, you can't. I mean, the kids were all cool, and I love, I always love Beth. Beth was, like, my favorite character. But, like, besides her, like, the damn clown was, like, the only thing that really kind of stuck out to me from time
to
time.
How can you not like Beth
without her? Yeah, I know. It was just so weird for me, like, because I was like, look at this, a group full of guys, and then you got that one chick. And then here she's showing them up, like, doing a bunch of little things here and there, trying to show, like, kind of a what of a badass that she is. But yet she's abused by so many men, you know, growing up. So I was like, yeah, she kind of stuck out to me. And I was like, man, you know, I always liked the female characters. And, you know, she always did really well. I liked that character.
And her hair is the fire of winter embers or something like that.
Yeah, January embers or March embers, something like that.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah, January embers. Yeah. But, yeah, the thing about this film is, like, looking back on it, like, everything you're saying, the only really thing interesting is, like, or at least for me, it was just Pennywise, everything else. Because it has fucking Seth Green in there, and he's, like, you know, a horrible actor at this time when he's trying, like, I used to always laugh, like, when, you know, especially now growing up. But it's, like, he's supposed to be the funny one, and he's, like, not funny at all. he's, like, telling jokes or whatever. Like, I'll jump ahead when he's the older Richie Tozier, and he's there, like, doing the fucking I guess it's supposed to be like a Godzilla movie or something, and then he starts biting like some wire, and it's just like, it's do y'all know what I'm talking about, when it's like he's like trying to be funny, but I'm like, what's the joke that, you know, that...
Yeah. you're right, like, this character just he's just not that funny. But, you know, one of the things that really kind of stuck out to me was that I never understood, even, you know, as I got older, I never really questioned it too much, was, did you all ever get the reasoning why they would always say, beep, beep, Richie?
I know in the remake they say it's because he's afraid of clowns, but they don't say it in the movie, do they, in this one?
No, it's actually like it's kind of like a little reference from the book where... I had to read little tidbits on the damn book because I never read the damn book. Mm-hmm. But apparently it references it saying that the reason why they say beep, beep is their way of telling them to shut the hell up. Basically, like the Roadrunner, when he goes beep, beep, he's always running. Well, they're always saying that he's running his mouth all the damn time. So that's why they go beep, beep, Richie. You know, shut up. You know, you're doing it too much. And he's all like, oh, okay, okay. So he knows when to shut up. So that's why the damn clown ends up, you know, kind of picking on him for that, you know. And man, that thing always kind of stuck with me. I was like, why the hell does he even say that? They don't say that in the damn movie, though.
They tell him, yeah, because his friends will tell him, beep, beep, Richie. And then, then the clown says it to Bill. He just does the beep, beep, and then he, like, takes off. So it's kind of like just one of those things that I guess Tim Curry made it even more over. But this fucking movie's got a hell of a cast, dude. I mean, like, when I was thinking about what we're going to talk about it, like I said, it was like, well, it's mainly going to be about it, and then where we know everybody else that's cast this movie from other shit, because they have a shit ton of people. I mean, they have, like, Jonathan Brandis, who plays young Bill, and he was a pretty badass actor growing up. Like, I remember him from Ladybugs and all that. CJ.
He was in Ladybugs, and he was also in that that underwater show on NBC, like, I think it was on Sunday nights, and then he was in Sidekicks with Chuck Norris.
I think I remember that now that you're saying that. Yeah, I do remember that shit. So, yeah, he comes out. I mean, he's a real famous actor. Like I said, Seth Green, well, he's, like, real famous now. And I only recently got into Emily Perkins because of that, what is it, werewolf movie? Is it a werewolf movie?
Ginger Snaps.
Ginger
man.
Snaps, yeah, dude. I actually love Ginger Snaps 2. A lot. It's like, have you ever seen Ginger Snaps 2 or just one? Or
I saw all of them, man. Yeah. I saw all three of them.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I was watching that damn movie, and so I'm watching with the wife, and the wife's like, oh, man, she's grown up so much. Who? That girl right there, the one that's going to turn into the werewolf, she's trying to help her sister. What do you mean? Why? Where is she from? Your movie, It?
Oh, what you didn't know?
Yeah. Bullshit. That is not her. That is her. Mm-hmm. Horseshit. I'm going to have to look that shit up. Yep.
The hell you say?
Damn shit.
And what about Tim Reed, the dad on Sister Sister?
Yeah, the Dan Tim Reed. Yeah, he was on Sister Sister. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of weird to kind of seeing him in that movie too. I did watch like a lot of Disney stuff like that too. But the dad. That's the only thing I really seen him from. I'm pretty sure he's popped up in other places, but that's the only thing I know him from though.
And Chris is Harry Anderson because he's a Night Court guy, dude. He was
yes,
Harry Anderson from Night Court. I was like, who? Yeah, I had saw him like when I first saw this film, I had no idea who he was, but you know, obviously having years behind my belt now, I was like, oh yeah, I know, you know, because I had saw him on one of my favorite episodes from Tales from the Crypt when he's like an artist and he draws the shit that comes to life. Do you remember that one, Gabe, or is that one sound familiar?
No, you're right. And then he was saying that he's all like, oh, his wife is like a little bitchy. Yeah. So he draws his wife like horribly bad. And she actually comes out. She actually comes out to life. And then his real wife comes in. And she's all like, who the hell is that supposed to be?
Yeah.
And he's all, is that supposed to be me? And they start arguing. They start fighting it out. And of course, you know, leave it to the monster killing his real wife. And he gets to walk off with the girl that he actually likes. He's like a kind of a not so popular comic artist, I guess.
Yeah.
In that episode.
He was, funny enough, his wife's name was Nancy.
Was it really? I don't remember that shit.
But, yeah, so they have a shit ton of people. The fucking, they have, the older Eddie. He comes out in Django Unchained. He was, what's his name? Leonardo DiCaprio's, like, I guess not sidekick, but like, I guess his butler or lawyer, something like that. He's like, he hangs around with them. So I was like, it's like one of those things to where, you know, I saw It in 1992 or 3-ish or whatever. And then I'm watching Django when that shit came out in 2000, whatever, right? 2010, 12, 15, whatever. And I see this guy and I'm like, I've seen this fool before. And I was like, oh, that's fucking Eddie from It. So it's always cool to see, like, motherfuckers from back then or from, you know, horror movies. But we can't forget the most – probably the two most over motherfuckers. You got John Ritter and you got Tim Curry, dude. And I didn't realize that fucking John Ritter's been gone for, I think, almost 20 years. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, like 17 years.
Yeah, it's like, wow, dude. Like, I remember him being in everything. I was like – I popped when I saw him on Bride of Chucky. I was like, what the fuck? John Ritter's – yeah, because I like Problem Child and all that shit. So, Three's Company, all that shit. So seeing him in this, it was like, oh man, you know, fucking, you know, somebody I know, because I didn't know any of these older dudes in here. Like, I think for the Grown Ups, that's about it. Everyone else, I didn't know. But you know, anyway.
I mean, really, like out of this whole 2-part TV miniseries, I mean, honestly, like let's start off, like, really. What did you all really enjoy from this? Like, did you all enjoy the first half or the second half?
To Joey, Chris, and Gabe, Master of the Universe Horror Podcast, which, by the way, rocks. My name is Suzanne Snyder, and you guys need to listen to this podcast. Thanks.
Yeah, so, like, personally, I really enjoy, like, the whole first half. I like seeing these kids, like, you know, running scared. They're trying to figure things out. You know, they're trying to understand, you know, what the hell they're seeing, like the nightmares, what's the reasoning for all these monsters, the damn clown. They're confused and they're afraid. They bring it up later on that they're afraid, like, hey, I don't want you all to make fun of me. I don't want you all to go ahead and say certain stuff. But honestly, you know, like, I have this problem. I'm seeing shit. And they're all like, oh, and then they all start relating. They're all like, yeah, I'm seeing shit too. Yeah, me too. And, you know, then they all start really kind of bonding over this kind of this terror that they're all kind of being introduced to. And like, honestly, I love that whole beginning part. I like the whole struggle of them. They're just confused. They don't know what the fuck is going on. and they're having to deal with some stupid ass clown. You know, I'm not afraid of clowns. I just don't trust the some bitches.
I have to agree with you there. Yeah, well, I love the like you said, like, because growing up in a time where, you know, your biggest entertainment was like going outside with your friends. I can relate to that. You know, I can relate to this. I know we can. Like now, you know, nowadays, the past 20 years, like a lot of kids, they don't do that shit. They're more of a playing video games and you know, and talking to their friends online. You know, kind of the way we do the podcast. We could just jump on here. But before, you know, back then, it's like you either called someone on the phone and talked to them, or you were like outside playing and shit like that. It's like a lot different now. So seeing them all kind of like become friends is kind of cool. And you see them, you know, built that pack because of the, and then they have the bully aspect and shit. The cool kids, dude, Henry Bowers and shit.
Oh, dude, Bowers was the shit, man. In the reboot, he was fucking aggressive and shit. He was, like, pretty badass. But in this one, he's all, like, a greaser type. You know, this whole thing starts and takes place back in the 1960s, and it ends off in 1985. And the whole beginning part with Bowers, man, he's funny as shit, man. He's cool.
Yeah, he's like, what do you say? He goes like, you better stop. I forgot what he's doing, like breathing heavy, or I'll tie your ears under your neck or some bullshit under your chin. I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? But yeah, no, he's he actually really makes everything work in the first half, because the kids are kind of like, you know, they would be okay, but like he's kind of like that wedge that keeps them running to like, you know, these spots, and then like that's where it kind of gets them all worked up, you know what I mean? Like he makes everything work, and then even in the second half he's supposed to, but he's only in there like very little. I didn't like that part about it, because I was expecting Henry to be still Henry. And they have him as this fucking super old man. I'm like, what the fuck happened to Henry? You know what I mean? Like, was anybody disappointed with old Henry?
No, like, see, that's actually one of the scenes I remember for as a kid. Because, like, I remember seeing that. I think it was in middle school that I saw that part where he's in the psych ward. And they got the real strict warden that night. And then Belch comes around. He has the vision of Belch, the hallucination of Belch, whatever. And that always stuck with me from like age 12 or whatever I was to now. Don't talk. I can read your thoughts.
Yeah.
And he looks all fucking evil. Like Belch in that scene looks like the way the Cobra Kai is dressed up in part one for the Halloween costume party. He kind of looks like that in the face. Like that tripped me out. Powering off. And it's just, you know, you always have the hallucination of something and it leads you to some kind of doom because of this fucking Pennywise clown. So,
yeah, definitely. Like I said, Bowers and his whole little gang there, that little group, they were like y'all said, like he keeps that group on the move. Like he's keeping them, you know, on their toes, because it's either they're afraid of the clown or they're afraid of Bowers. And I think their main concerns, they're confused about the whole clown situation, but they're mostly like, they're afraid of, you know, Bowers. Bowers is the big threat. Yeah, even with adults, if you all notice, the adults are really they're not very strict in there at all. I mean, they pass their warnings on, but they...
for Henry's group, and there's only those. Well, there's a lot of them in the beginning, you know, and then all of a sudden we just have the three main guys. Victor, I think, is the other one. And like, we're not getting into the remake or whatever, but the remake gang was really badass, because they had like multiple dudes in there, and you kind of got to know them all a little bit like more compared to this one. It seemed kind of like they didn't pay attention to building a lot of character for the people, like the way they, except for Henry, but for all the other people, and I think that's important. So
yeah, Henry stuck out, but it felt like it was only a gang of like what, four guys? Henry, Belch.
Yeah, I think when they're throwing rocks, there's like five or six of them.
Yeah, there's like actually a whole bunch of them. But yeah, the only ones that they really close up on are like just those main four. But yeah, there is actually a bigger group of them though.
Yeah. Chris?
So, Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna ask the question of do I prefer episode one or episode two, honestly, I let me clarify, I don't dislike either one, but you know, just for me, like, I don't know, I'm always more of a fan of seeing people in their adult years when they're free to be who they want to be, you know, they're out there living life, they're not confined to having to be at school and, you know, the childishness and the immaturity and stuff, like, they can just, people are a lot more free in their adult years to be in a lot of ways, not in every way, but in a lot of ways, they're more free to be themselves, and they're not confined to the social pressures, and like school is kind of like a penitentiary of sorts, because you have to be there and you have to be around people 8 hours a day, except unlike prison, you actually go home for, you know, 12 hours too, but I like that element, just me, the way I think of things. But I also like you said, the scene where Henry's in the psych ward, and he's talking to what he thinks is Belch, you know, and he's telling him just to read his thoughts. And then, or like that, or like when you get to the library, and you got Stanley, you know, and he's dead, he got killed. But you see his head in there, and he's saying all this crazy, like, that's fucking creepy. And, like, obviously, it didn't affect me this much this time. I mean, it was still freaking, like, whoa, cool scene and everything. But it just, especially if you're a kid, or if it's your first time seeing it, that type of shit just gets to you, man. Seeing a guy's head that's dead that was your friend, and he's telling you all this, as Mark would say, truth-telling about everybody and all this stuff. And, of course, it's not really him. It's it. But still, like, that stuff to me is just amazing.
Yeah.
I think that – okay.
Yeah, they have a lot of good scenes that are, like – they're kind of, like, shocking when you first see them, like, and especially when you're, like, a kid, like – One of the like, there's a lot of Pennywise scenes, but the one that always kind of like freaked me out, just because I'm like, I always like tell you, and like, hey, when you watch a movie, make sure it's dark and all that, you know, when you're, and you're by yourself, and you, you know, so there's no distraction, so you're really taking in like the whole scenery. And I remember watching this and seeing when Ben has this fight with his mom, man, and that cousin of his is a piece of shit. He's a Mom says our the only reason, you know, you're staying here is because it's our Christian duty or some bullshit, and he's just a piece of shit. He runs out. He, you know, Ben runs out, and then he goes off into the whatever the fuck that fucking Everglades and shit.
That little valley where there's the river, and eventually they build the dam and all that stuff.
Yeah,
well, I always called it a gutter, but yeah, it's like a fancy gutter because it has like all these wooden trees and oaks and all that bullshit down there. But yeah, it's like a. I would say it's like the gutter side of the neighborhood, I guess.
Yeah, he goes and like you see like this. It looks like a castle, but it's like it's the entrance to like the sewer and shit, right, or whatever. And he sees it from like from where he's standing, and there's like this kind of like little small lake. And then he sees his dad like standing there, like, "Hey, this is my home now, son." And I remember seeing that and being like, man, you know, that's not like, you know, there's something sus about what's going on here. And he they go in and out, and like, it's in the middle of the fucking lake. And he's like with that cackling, but like, it's like almost in slow motion. And like, you're like, what the fuck? And then that skeleton comes out and reaches for his foot from the lake. And there's just something about knowing that you're by yourself. I mean, it's not out of this world, but it's like there's something about being a kid out in the fucking like somewhere like that, and there's a fucking skeleton reaching for you that always freaked me the fuck out. I was like, holy shit, dude. And he's like, you know, they all float down, and you'll float down here too, fat boy. And I should mention that they do a cool thing about this film, as far as presenting what's going on, is like there's flashbacks. So It starts off in the present, and everyone's kind of having these flashbacks of what's going on. I thought that was a cool way to present it, kind of telling everyone's story.
Yes,
but right. So the whole first half, like part one of that miniseries, is basically it introduces all the adults that are going to be involved into the final fight. But as you get to, as it starts zooming in on each one of those characters, it does a flashback of, you know, them growing up, or, you know, how they were introduced to it in some way or another. Mm-hmm. And then as it leads to part two, then it reintroduces the flashbacks again. But this time it's a little more, they get a little more detail to kind of see, you know, it kind of shows like more or less like what they were fearing or, you know, how they handled the situation better.
I always liked, it's not a real big scene, but I always liked when Stanley goes to deliver groceries or something, and there's like a fucking mummy coming down the staircase, and I was like, I thought that was like another, you know, crazy ass scene, because you're like, he's like locked in there, and like they do a really good job. Like I said, everyone for the most part's not a great actor. They don't really have too much good dialogue, but every scene that's supposed to be scary, I think they do a really good job of doing it, you know. And I think that's what makes this movie strong, because everything about it, like if it's based on everything other than that has Pennywise or someone that's supposed to be Pennywise, like any other gimmick, like it's basically like a 3 or a 4. But when you have all those other scenes, and of course, you know, when we get to the rating, it makes it much higher. And like, yeah, that one scene where, you know, like they're saying, like, I don't know, he just, you know, Stan ran out and he jumped on my bike and he just said, kept going, and he kept looking behind me, and I was so scared, you know, to look behind, because, you know, and all this and that, like him explaining it, I was like, man, this is good shit. Like little spots like that, they actually like save the movie. Because
I didn't think of that, but you're right. You're absolutely right. Like the things that are like, you know, they're just I don't want to say random, but like Pennywise himself, just you seeing him, you don't get scared out of your mind. Oh my gosh, like, oh wow, that creeps me out or whatever. You don't have that react just merely seeing him. Mm-hmm. But when they have those things, like you said, I had forgotten the mummy going down the stairs scene. That was freaking great. Or when you have Stanley's head in the fridge, or when you have, there's all these other things that are like Ben seeing his dad off in the distance. You know, and we all know his dad's dead, so we know there's something up there. Like, that type of shit is what gets in your head and gives you that creepy feeling.
Yeah, the consistent, like you said, it is kind of random, because they're just there. They're like, oh, I remember this. And then they start, you know, thinking about it, and the guy's up there on the roof, and he starts thinking about, you know, whatever the fuck's going on. Eddie had it pretty bad, dude, when he's, like, trying to get out of taking a shower, winks at Chris. He's like, after Fix Ed, you gotta take a shower. And he goes back in there, and fucking Pennywise just fucking gets his ass over. And that's another one too. It's like, for a while as a kid, like you would look down drains and you'd be like, man, I wouldn't want no fucking hand coming out of that motherfucker. And like that.
Grab you by the nuts.
Huh? Yeah, dude. And like, like, you know, like if you've ever like been in like school and like, you know, there's spots of the school where it's isolated, and it just seemed like for Eddie, it was like, he was completely isolated. There was no one there. It's just like him in the showers with this fucking clown. And then Beth, is that her name, right? Beth?
Yeah. Beverly.
Beverly. Yeah. I was like, fucking, Beverly's when she's at home, like she's with her dad, but it kind of feels like he's not even there. You know what I mean? She feels like she's just, she's on her own with this shit. And so when the fucking, you know, from Pennywise starts talking to her from the sink, you're like, man, she's fucked.
Yes. Is that alcoholic abusive dad? You thought for sure he was going to open up a can on her, but like,
yeah. You know that? That was, like, so interesting, though, right? Like, the damn bathroom is all covered in blood, you know, it was spitting out all kinds of crazy shit. She freaks out, and the damn dad comes over there like, well?
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't know how to explain it. Like, you speak don't up, see girl. The damn blood in front of you?
Yeah, no, he's like, speak up, girl. And she's like, there was a spider. It's a really big spider named Nancy, you know. And
I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't have thought of, like, trying to make an excuse like that. I would have said, you don't see it. You know, I would have tried to emphasize more on, like, you know, what I'm staring at. But apparently, like, the dad was already freaking out. And also, what's his name, Billy? He did the same shit, too, when he was looking at the photo book of his dead brother. And all of a sudden, the book started, like, flipping around and started spewing out blood. And then the parents come in. Same thing. They were just, they completely ignored the blood and all that.
Yeah. When the photo of Georgie starts like smile moving,
he gives him he gives him the Chris wink, dude. What are you talking about?
The Nancy wink.
Yeah, dude. He just does that wink, and like the thing about this fucking thing, is that I love just the sounds that they use. It's, you know, the soundtrack and the sounds, like for that you know spot specifically, when he winks, you hear. Dun-dun, you know, and then he throws the book down, and it's, oh, he's freaking out. Then you're dun 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 dun. You're like, And it gives you that, like, real, like, oh, shit, like, what's going to happen? You know, when it's just, like, it's just they know where to add the little gimmicks at. And then, yeah, like, they come in. They're like, what's going on, Bill? He's like, it's George's picture and all that. And he's like, he's kind of like, they're not saying anything, but he's like, don't you, you know, like, and he like, no, they, I guess they can't see it. So, like, yeah, that's like a continuation, Bev's continuation of that shit. But, like, in the beginning, dude, like, one of my favorite things about this film is that I don't care how many times you've seen it, or at least for me, when I put it on and it starts off, dude, just within that first 30 seconds, you're like, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck?
That was totally it's a great sound, man. They got some good, they got the good music on that shit.
Yes.
And then the slow...
When you got Stephen King, it's going to be high budget. They're going to do it right.
Yeah, I know for sure. And then, like, when they do that slow, like, when they're showing, like, a bunch of all the old pictures, they have, like, that violin kind of synthy sound. And then, of course, they play, was it Beethoven, when the beginning starts off when Bill's getting his brother killed by making that boat, and they're fucking, you know, playing that one piece, that classical piece. And, like, for me, like, that was, like, even with the remake, it was really good, too. But, like, the pinnacle, the beginning, so damn good that, like, everything else kind of is kind of, like, not as good when you start off with such a, like, an iconic scene, dude. It's, like, it's a lot like the fucking Nightmare on Elm Street and Tina kind of death, where it's, like, it's so crazy in the beginning that you see the rest of it, you're like, well, I mean, the rest of it's okay, but goddamn, that beginning was so fucking good that you can't, it's hard to top that. I remember being a kid, dude, and kind of like always seeing those gutters and shit and just kind of like walking around it. I'm like, nope. You know what I mean? Like, it had that kind of psychological effect. Yes. I mean, I was a little bit younger than y'all, so that's why, but still.
But I agree. If I had seen this movie at a younger age than I did and watched it from the beginning then at a younger age like that, and yeah, I would have had the same. I mean, thankfully, where I grew up, we really didn't have storm drains like that. But we had a lot of ditches, like concrete dug-in ditches and stuff that handled the rain. But yeah, if I had watched it younger and walked by storm drains, yeah, that would have creeped me out too.
Saw that as a kid, or at any point, did y'all, was there one scene that y'all felt that was the scene with It or Pennywise that got the most over? Like I said, for me, it was that beginning scene, just him having like an actual conversation with, like, you never saw that, like a real one, and kind of like playing mind games, dude, with the kid, and just kind of like trying to gain his trust. I was like completely like, no, don't do it, don't put your, and every time I watch it, I'm like, man, maybe this time George is not going to be a dumbass and stick his fucking arm in there. It's like, I'm waiting for like a different outcome to, you know, to happen on this film. And it's like the only film I do that. I don't know why. Like, I'm watching it, I'm like, man, maybe George is going to like take off and not fall for his shit this time. It's a weird thing, dude. But
no,
I think the best part would be the werewolf scene. I really like that. Yeah, you know, that werewolf was just like so creepy. When they sent what's his name down there to go and look for Mr. Marsh, is that supposed to be the dad for Beverly? Is that Beverly's dad?
Yeah, he's the janitor.
Yeah. He was the janitor. Dad,
yeah,
right?
Like that's when Beverly's like, hey, new kid, and then she's talking to Ben, and then those bitches, like, they bump into her, watch out, whatever, and she's all like, some of us have janitors for parents, and then, like, I was all like, are they?
Oh, I thought that was just an insult just to make fun of her, you know.
Well, it is, and that, yeah, because her dad's the fucking janitor, like, and then I heard Mr. Marsh, and, like, when he's going down there, and I'm like, so it all, I mean, it took years for me to put it all together, but I was all like, Mr. Marsh is a fucking janitor, and he's the werewolf, so, like, well, that's, I mean, it's, they're using him as the gimmick, but yeah, he's a fucking janitor there. So
yeah, because they send what's his name down there, and they said, "Hey, go get Mr. Marsh to go and clean all this up." Oh, yeah. Okay. So he starts walking down there, Mr. Marsh. He's all knocking on the damn door, Mr. Marsh, and then you know, after them seeing that damn werewolf movie, you know, that's what happens to be popping out coming after. It's Richie, right? Yeah, Richie.
Yep.
And that's when they it starts coming after him, and then he turns back around, and it's the damn clown, and he's like, what the hell? I thought it was the damn werewolf. Why is there a damn clown? You know, that shit's fucking funny as shit.
One other scene that you know, it kind of gets lost in the shuffle because a lot of people don't like the second half, like we're saying, like, you know, but when Beverly goes back to go say hi to her dad, and there's that old lady there, dude, oh, that shit, that – they could have made it even better than it was, but it was really kind of like fucked up when they're having the coffee and she's kind of like noticing that gets blood in there, and she drops it and she starts seeing that old lady's teeth that they changed. They're all like fucked up, you know, and she's all like, it did say Marsh on the door, you know, and yes. And she's all like, I worry about you, babe. And the voice starts changing, over, like, you know, and I'm like, what the fuck? And anyway, she looks up. And it's like that same kind of like zombie, but a real fucked up face where it's just like, even me seeing that now, I'm like, man, if I saw that, I'd just start swinging and running at the same time, dude. It's like, what the fuck is that shit? You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, but, you know, one of the things I kind of feel like we should probably bring up, which started a lot of controversy, was
Nancy.
She's always a controversy. One of these days she's gonna pop up on this damn show, man. And I'm telling you, man,
in a clown outfit.
I'm gonna bring like a crucifixion and everything. I'm gonna make sure I keep her at bay. I don't want her inhabiting my soul or some shit.
As long as she can't kill me in my sleep, I'm okay.
Say her name five times, she'll probably come out.
Yeah.
No, but like one of the things though, in particular, like it was a big controversy between the book and a lot of things that these people ended up watching the damn TV show, the miniseries, when it came out. Mm-hmm. Everybody was kind of like looking for that sexual orgy.
Yeah.
if y'all remember or even know about it, there was a segment in the damn book where they were lost in the sewers. So being lost in the sewers, when they were trying to make their way out, they couldn't remember, and pretty much they were doomed. But they figured the transition from childhood to adulthood, you know, they actually came up with the idea that, hey, you know, what's one thing adults do? You know, well, they have sex. And so they ended up all having sex. You know, this is a bunch of 12-year-olds. They all ended up having sex with each other, and all of a sudden they start remembering the way out. So that's it actually saved their lives, but it was kind of weird that, you know, there was Bev, you know, and she's ending up sleeping with all her buddies, which all at once, like right then and there. And I thought it was a little off-putting, and I was like, are you serious? And so they don't make any mention of that in the damn TV series, but they did bring it up on a messaging board. Stephen King did mention, he said it was not, it doesn't have anything to do with any kind of sexual, you know, intention. It was just more, he wanted to emphasize the transition from childhood to adulthood.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I remember they talked about it on the remake, but yeah, I didn't know about it till they were talking about the whole remake thing and like talking about more of the book, because you know how they were saying like the book, I've only read certain little spots of it, you know, but and just what's on, like, you can find on YouTube, people do, you know, doing little reviews of the book. Because it's I've heard it's like it's a super long book, and it's such a trippy. It'd be so difficult to really be true to the book, because there's so much different shit with like the space turtle and all kinds of weird shit to it. Like this one, they really don't have any of that. It's more kind of like, as crazy as it sounds, more grounded in you know, and what they can actually put on film and not have it to be some kind of crazy ass sci-fi, you know, adventure fucking horror. You know, kind of like what's that one film with where they go into space and it's like hell? You know what I'm talking about.
Is it a Space Odyssey 2001?
No, it's
I was thinking Hellraiser, Hellbound.
Well, that one, yeah. Exactly. It would be something like that. But there's a I forgot the name. It's the dude from the In the Mouth of Madness in Jurassic Park. He comes out I'll think of it in a little bit. But Sam Neill. It's Sam Neill comes out on it, and it's like. Like they go to space because like some like a spaceship like it disappeared.
Event Horizon.
That's the one. So you take like you know some horror elements, but you kind of throw in some kind of like crazy ass other shit to it. Like this is like it. They you know Stephen King's book, from my understanding, has like a lot of psychological or you know shit like that with space and whatever the fuck. And in the second one or the remake, they have like, oh, they have the Indian tribe and all that other bullshit, or like the natives that were fought off it when he first came like 200 years ago, all kinds of weird shit.
Right,
so it's like all over the place, you know. This is one of those, though. This one, they never touched on any of that except for when Ben, he talks about how like the villagers disappeared, like, you know, or not Ben, it's Mike. Mike talks about it when he has that book, which is another crazy ass part.
And they give the flashback, like when they're in the library, he's talking about it, all the way to like they show when he's a teenager giving the book report. Is they like he lists like every 30 years, 1960, 1930, 1900, and then how this 253 settlers just disappear.
Yeah, he's all this, you know, they disappeared without a trace, and they're out there in the fucking like. It's not a playground, but it's like a construction thing, and that book starts flipping, dude. And then when the fucking I like how they built that up too. When they're like, there's a picture of like a clown drawn, and they're like, Tudor, yeah, like you said, you know, he was here then, and they start seeing like, you know, like here he is, the same man. Like every picture has a clown in there somewhere, you know, and that's what he comes out and fucking the picture starts moving, and it comes out, his fucking hand comes out. And I was just like, I remember seeing that as a kid, dude. Like, I'm afraid to open up a book. Yeah. That movie fucked with me psychologically, so everyone knows.
That movie, well, yeah. I mean, you see shit like that, like the things, it turns your world upside down if you're a kid seeing it, especially if you're a kid, because you see things like that, ordinary things that you just take for granted, you're just supposed to do, and it's safe. And then lo and behold, you know, a fucking hand comes out of the book. The picture starts moving. You know, you see an image. You know, all these things. You see an image of your dad, and it's really the clown. You see a clown in a storm drain. You see a mummy coming down the stairs. You're delivering groceries. Like all the things you think you should just be able to normally do safely and have no problems. And lo and behold.
So the thing, the thing that actually made me scared about this movie was, of course, being young. I think I was about 6, 7, 8 at the most ish, like around that age when I was like watching this shit, right? See, the thing about it is, like, it was scary, yeah, but what made it scarier for me and really put me, you know, fucking, like, to, like, wow, this is, like, I couldn't watch it for a while, was I had this cousin. He was, like, 3 years older, and he's, like, a big old baby, right? But I always looked up to him, and, like, he was legitimately, like, scared of this film. Like, he would be, like, you know, I remember, like, he'd spend the night, like, because, you know, cousins, you know, back then, you'd always do all that shit, and... Yeah. I'd be like, all right, you know, what are we gonna do tonight? And he's like, dude, we should watch, you know, like a movie. And I'd be like, let's watch it, you know, because I liked horror movies as a kid. And he's like, no way, dude. He's like, you know, that because that was too scary or whatever. And he's like, dude, it doesn't freak you out, like when you watch a movie like that, and then you have to like go to the restroom at night, and you're there, and like you don't think about stuff like that. And as a kid, I didn't until he started talking about it, and it kind of like freaked me out that he's like, "Why is he afraid of this shit?" So it made me more scared of like it started making me think like, you know, like man, maybe I shouldn't be getting up and going to take a shower at night, you know, like because you start freaking out, like you don't want to, then you start thinking like, "Well, I shouldn't be alone," you know.
That there are certain movies that are. That I completely understand what you're saying. See, like when I was younger, like this movie wasn't one of them, but there are certain movies that I watched where, like, like the way I sleep or the way I used to sleep anyways, I would hang off the bed, man. Like my body would all hang off the bed. But then, you know, there was
I thought you were gonna say your penis would hang off. Never mind.
Oh man, that's I let it hang, man. I
still sleep like that.
Yeah. And so me hanging off the bed, so I'm like, well shit, you know, now that I saw this fucking scary ass movie, I know what you mean. So now I'm like, oh man, what if some shit just grabs me out of nowhere from underneath the bed? Mm-hmm. I don't want to deal with that shit. So all of a sudden I start making sure that my body is like nice and tight inside the damn bed. I was like, yeah, I don't want to fall off and then some fucker drags me from underneath the bed and shit. You know, like kind of like it. You ever seen that movie, Little Monsters?
Oh hell yeah!
It's the one with the damn kid from The Wonder Years.
Yeah, Fred Savage and Howie Mandel, dude. Yeah, the fucking classic.
Remember those fuckers would come up from under the damn bed?
Yeah.
Okay, well, after I would watch like fucking Child's Play or some like fucking doll ass movie, that's honestly what I would like kind of, I'd be triggered and think about. Not so much like going to the bathroom taking a dump because I'm in like. They can have my shit for all I care, but but yeah, I don't want them dragging me underneath the bed. I was like, no, we ain't gonna have none of that shit now. Cut myself nice and tight, bring in my junk, you know, tight.
Yeah, though, that's always been a thing for me. Is like I've never let my hands or anything hang off the bed or my feet, cause like nah, fuck all that, dude. Like that'll mess with me, psychologically, but. Yeah, this one messed with me. Well, the thing is, so that, and I might have told this story before, but anyway, I'll tell it as quickly as I can. And as I never have like dreams or nightmares, but when I did, because I never remembered them, but when I did remember them, they was like obviously like really scary. And I've only had like, from what I can remember now, like three that really really scared me. One of them had it, and one of them had the. The old man from Poltergeist, which I'll save for when we get to the Poltergeist 2 review, which we'll be doing soon, right? Anyway, so with it, is my same cousin, the same one, he had a two-story house, and across the street, like literally across the street, so if you look, you know, you look outside, there was a school that was right there, right? So I had this dream that I was standing on, like, by myself in the house on the second floor, and from his room, you can see the school. And looking out the window and seeing it like run across the parking lot like laterally, right? And I'm seeing him running across the school laterally, and then he turns to face me like he senses me looking at him, and just like in the movie, he points like out the way he was doing like at you know from outside the book, he points at me and he growls, and he starts running towards the house. And like so I can see him, you know, and all of a sudden he goes from out of my, you know, field of vision to obviously where the house door's at. And I hear the fucking doors like slam open and closed. And I hear him like stomping up the stairs like all pretty quick, you know, like I'm like freaking the fuck out. Seeing like it's going through this whole little thing in like a 5-10 second span and. Shit like that, I was like, my God, dude, I can't, I have to stop watching it, dude. So, motherfucker got over.
The horror movie experience and talking about it, that much more fun because it was like that it's like a roller coaster, you know.
Chris, what the fuck?
Probably not gonna...
Chris, what the fuck are you doing to your mic?
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, I had heard whatever you were doing. Like I don't know if you have a bag of M&Ms over there too, but
no, I had my thumb up by it. It was fucking rubber, but
I had my thumb up my ass, Joe. It's no big deal.
I mean, you know what did that kind of like what you were talking about, the psychological effects of this movie. And I was too old and didn't watch all of it, so it didn't get to me in that way. But like what would always get to me, like it would always be like, and this was big in the early 90s. Like you'd see a lot of this shit, like sitcoms that were like more family-ish sitcoms. They'd always have an episode where someone was talking to the spirit of some relative they lost or something, or some dead person in their life, like their dead, you know, husband or their dead dad or dead mom or whoever, or dead friend or whatever. And that shit would always get in my head, and like that would like, I'd be fine during the day, and then nighttime I'd start getting creeped out.
All the paranormal, kind of thing, like, the ghost and shit.
Spirits. Like, that type of shit, like you live in the middle of the night and walk across the hallway to go get water, and you think you're gonna, some ghost is going to appear. No, that's when a fucking ghost ship got to me so bad.
Hey, Chris, did you, I mean, as far as me and Joe, you know, we had like a lot of horror movies, you know, and things like that that kind of freaked us out. And, you know, we also had, like, siblings and stuff like that, you know,
what
brothers,
the hell are you
cousins,
doing,
sisters.
What are you doing over there, Chris? Jesus Christ. Chris, you sound like 1,000 times louder. I hear everything rubbing on your – I don't know what – I know you're going to no-sell it like you always do, but you're obviously doing something right now that you haven't been doing the past 45 fucking minutes.
I was sitting on the damn couch.
Oh, so you're like, ugh. So that's what it was. I was like, I can hear all this shit. So he wasn't sitting. He was like fine, like laying down or something. No, it wasn't. But go ahead, Gabe. Sorry.
No, it's all good. We're trying to figure out what Chris is doing right now.
Yeah,
anyway.
You got to keep an eye on him, dude. He's fucking. He gets insane. I was on the couch.
I was more curious. Like, you know, what was Chris's like kind of experiences like growing up? Because like me and Joe, we had like I was saying, we had siblings, cousins, you know, things like that that we kind of. You know, we pal around, or even I don't know if y'all have been like, you know, attacked or whatever, or trying to like. I had my nephews, so I would go ahead and spook the shit out of them by locking them in the dang closet, telling them like fucking Chucky's gonna get them, or like some other shit like that they would try to do to me. But like, and then Joe has his experiences. Well, what's yours, Chris? Like, what do you deal with as far as like clowns and shit like that trying to get you?
I mean, the thing is like, and as y'all know. Like, I wasn't raised with horror films the way you guys were. Like, y'all got to watch this kind of stuff, like, you know, from childhood on.
And right. That's why I'm questioning it. Cause yeah. You lived a good, hopeful, blessed life. I mean, the way it sounds really, you know, peaceful.
I mean, it was Windcrest in the late 80s, mid 90s. I mean, that's the kind of life it was. I mean, it was the middle class suburbia life.
Well, Chris, I guess what he's saying is it doesn't matter. I you can put me in Windcrest and I'm still going to be into the same things that I'm into. It's not really where I grew up at. Okay. But he's saying what did you do? What was your hobbies growing up? What was your life like growing up? Not just I grew up on Windcrest. Like okay, I mean
I said it because like he's talking about like stuff like. Locking your siblings in a closet and telling them Chucky.
You can grow up anywhere, but it just what were you doing? Like me, I was hanging out with cousins. I was into sports. I was into horror movies. I was into video games. I was into rock and roll. I was playing rock and roll music. Give me he's interested in what did you do growing up? Not I grew up on Woodcrest. So
not movies. No, because he said like Pleasant, and so I was like. I mean, that's just the way Windcrest was, but I mean, to expand on that, I mean, yeah, my life growing up, honestly, at that age, I mean, was not like you guys horror movies. I mean, it was mainly like TV shows, reruns of every fucking sitcom after school. You know, obviously, hence Night Court was my reference for fucking Richie Tozier. You know, it could have been reruns of anything, Saved by the Bell, Family Matters, cartoons. All kinds of cartoons, whatever movies we were allowed to watch. And sometimes, you know, our parents or my aunt would rent a movie, and sometimes we'd be allowed to watch it with them, and sometimes they'd make us leave the room because they knew it was going to be graphic or whatever. I mean, so, yeah, sports, I think as a kid, I mean, we did fucking soccer, intramural basketball, karate, stuff like that. We did that as a kid.
I don't believe you did any karate, Chris. Not from what I've seen.
I didn't compete or anything. It was just like after school.
Well, I know you didn't compete. I mean, I know
he
that.
Was Cobra Kai. Yeah.
It was only till like fucking third grade. So it wasn't like it was first, second, third grade, and that was it. It wasn't any big deal. But yeah, I mean, we did, and like I said, soccer, intramural basketball in middle school, shit like that. I mean, that's really.
So technically, when did the horror get you, Chris? Is it when you saw it? Because you said you saw this when you were younger.
Horror for me as a kid, like, honestly, like, I was watching the movie, because Nick was watching, and Nick was already, like, probably, what, ninth grade, and I would have been, like, fourth grade, I think, and then, and then also USA Network would show the Child's Play movies, so, you know, I'd watch those, like, when you'd be home for spring break or the summer or whatever.
Oh, all right.
That's what life was like for me. Like,
movies. The real horror didn't really start till you met Nancy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Real violence there.
I mean, I remember being in elementary and like people would be talking, everyone would be one up each other. Oh yeah, well, I've seen Nightmare on Elm Street 4. Yeah, well, I've seen Nightmare on Elm Street 5. Well, I've seen Nightmare on Elm Street 6, and they're just topping each other. I'm like, they made that many of those? Like, I'd never seen a Nightmare. I didn't know who Freddy Krueger was. I wouldn't have known him from Santa Claus if you'd have shown him down the front door. Like, I didn't know any of that shit. But, I mean, movies for me was a lot of, like, true-to-life stuff. Or, like, you know, the fucking, what is it? Just random PG-13 movies, you know. Sometimes R. When my aunt started doing this thing where she'd come over with R-rated movie and watch it at my grandma's house. And my grandma, who was, you know, World War II generation, all prudish and everything, she... Like, Chris, I don't know if we should be watching this. You know, this is so inappropriate. You
know? I kind of feel like all this is a real treat for Chris. Because, like if you get kind of the background that he's kind of saying, like all the PG-13 and stuff, that kind of stuff that he's watching, and now that he's, like, barely catching up on all these classic horror movies, all these classic icons like Pennywise, the Dancing Clown, I think it's, like, it's a real treat, man, to, like, kind of experience all that. You know,
when I see this stuff, it's, like, if I had seen this joke, because, like, I'll watch it now, and I'll look at it now, and, like, I'm 39 years old, or even if I was, you know, 35, whatever, if you're in your 30s, you're watching this stuff, it doesn't get you that bad as it would have when you were, say, 10. Yeah, so it makes me kind of wish, I'd have seen it at a younger age, because, you know, you haven't lived life, you haven't had experiences, whatever, you don't know deeper things about stuff, you know, it would affect you more, the innocence of childhood, than in your 30s, you know?
I guess the experiences of realizing that there's true terror and violence, because I kind of feel like a lot of these horror movies have, like, some real life significance to it. I mean, not that we're gonna see like a werewolf or something chase after us down the street, but you know, a damn rabid dog is down the street, and you know, it's gonna rip your ass a new one. So I mean, at some point or another, I think somebody took like these kind of normal everyday experiences and actually turned them into horror. It's pretty neat, and you know, us watching it when we were younger. Yeah, our imaginations kind of blew up. You know, even just like when we saw like Nightmare on Elm Street, or we saw Jason and stuff, and then we saw a chick take off her top, our minds were blown. We were just like, oh, shit. You know, people can get naked on this shit? I was like, I've been watching Nickelodeon the whole fucking time. What the fuck has I been doing?
Get out of the way, Rugrats, you know.
Yeah, so, I mean, straight.
We got the real shit now.
And even at this age, I got to say, but even at this age, there's certain horror films that can get into my head, you know, like wow, like, oh my God, like, you know, first couple Nightmare on Elm Streets or the Nightmare remake in 2010, that type of thing. You're seeing that, like, oh my God, these people are scared to go to sleep because they don't want to get killed in their dreams, and this guy's fucking crazy, scary, horror, like that type of stuff. Or like even at age 39 watching it last week, that type of stuff. I mean, like you say, you open up a fucking fridge and you see the head of Stan telling people how terrible they are, or you see, oh my god, I forgot, like, freaking Henry and Bell's talking to each other in the psych ward. Or you see there's all these different scenes that just mean so much. Like, it's like you say, you're taking everyday life things that you don't even think about, and you're making them scary, because you can't take for granted the minute-to-minute safety you have. What means more to me as someone, oh, and I mean, he's noticing that I liked, noticing that really was creepy. Richie Tozier drives up and sees on the movie theater, Richie Tozier, 1950 to 1990. I mean, if you drove up somewhere and saw your name and saw the year you were born, and then this year is the year you died, like, that would creep you the fuck. You're like, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, little things like that, like, yeah, they are, you know, done well. I remember seeing that he just stops. He's like, the Paramount, you know, whatever. He's like this, like, saying a bunch of nonsense and shit, and fucking, then he gets freaked out, and he goes to the library, and he fucking freaks out. That's cool. And when what's his name, Bill, goes to the graveyard and to say goodbye to, or say, you know, hi to his brother he hadn't seen in, you know, forever, to his grave, and then and it's, you know, fucking digging up the graves for everybody else. He's like, you know, pick one, a Billy boy, except for that one. It's already taken. You're like, oh, fuck. You know what I mean? You know, like shit. Like, see, the thing about me is, like, I'm one of those dudes that I can suspend disbelief and really get engulfed in a movie. Like, when I put on shit now, I can make myself get scared. Of course, like, I'm not like, oh, I'm not going around my house freaking out and shit, but I can sit there and, like, oh shit, that was good, or what. I can, you know, suspend disbelief and get zoned into these films that we watch still, like the way I was when I was a kid. Obviously, like, there's nothing that beats being, like, when you're a kid, when you're watching this shit for the first time and you have no control. But I still have as much fun now watching it as I did as a kid, you know, especially something I haven't seen before. Like New Year's Evil and shit. Like, I had no idea what to expect. And I'm just watching it, and then I see that guy come out with that mask, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I popped for it. Like, I enjoyed it. I was like, oh, dude, they have a gimmick, and I loved it. Same thing with
this. That's your next Halloween costume, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's so simple and perfect. Like, that track suit and that fucking mask, dude. I mean, come on. We all got to dress like that, dude, especially Chris. Big-ass track suit.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but I mean, this is one of the few horror movies that, like, I'm watching it and I'm not rolling my eyes, like, oh my gosh, stop, oh my gosh, come on, I'm not scared of this, whatever, like, this, and maybe part of it is because I saw it at a young age, but, like, I just, like you say, Joe, it's done very well.
Yeah, they do everything, you know, like, of course it has its flaws, but, you know, like Gabe had said earlier, like, you've seen this so many times. Like, when we're talking about this, I've literally seen this probably out of the only movie that would rival this as many times as I've seen something is probably like the original Ninja Turtles movie and like Conan the Barbarian. But this movie, like, they're right there where I've seen these movies. I've seen this movie like over 100 times, dude. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, the same way here. Like, I've seen it so many times. It's just like, you know, I never really kind of engulfed into it. I mostly watched it just for, you know, I like the adventure of these kids all freaking out and trying to figure things out. Bowers and then the damn clown coming down.
Yeah.
You know, this thing popped up on TV, like, so much. It was just, You know, like, shit, I ain't got nothing else to do. Fuck it, put this shit on.
Yeah.
You know, now we got everything on demand. We can just pop on whatever damn show, movie, or whatever we want to watch, which is pretty damn convenient. It's like a personal Blockbuster right here in your own damn room.
You don't got to tell Chris. That's his favorite thing, dude, the whole streaming thing, dude.
I mean, when I moved to my first apartment and I lost access to a lot of my Apple stuff that I had on my mom's computer at her house, and part of that was because, you know, I one of my Apple devices got damaged, like, 2 weeks before I moved. But the thing is, when I found through my the school Chromebook laptop I had, when I found Google Play Movies, I was like, wait, let me do this. And then when I found out that my Roku that I had that Google Play Movies app on it so I could watch those movies I bought, I was like, wow, that's when it clicked. And then by, like, October, November of 2015, I was just, every month I'd buy another movie, every paycheck I'd buy another episode of an old TV show.
Yeah, it's so convenient, dude. I love it. Like, your library, like, it's like I'll just put on it just for the fuck of it if I want to have something on, or you know, Karate Kid or whatever. So no, I definitely agree with that shit. I wanted to mention before, you know, we end this motherfucker, is it's directed by probably one of my favorite directors for horror movie, Tommy Lee Wallace, dude. He did Season of the Witch, dude, Halloween 3, which I love, and Fright Night 2, which I absolutely love. So he had talked about – I had saw, like, you know, some little bullshit IMDb things where he talked about that he had worked – I didn't even know he had worked with – I mean, I heard about it because he did some shit with Halloween 2, I think he was editing Halloween 1. He was, like, the editor for Halloween 1 and a bunch of Carpenter films. And I was like, no shit. I was like, no wonder I like his, like, he's got a great style. I mean, I know some people think Fright Night 2 sucks, but I like I said, I fucking love that film, like, so much. I can't wait till we do it because it's so over the top. And I love Halloween 3. So I thought he did.
Makes you wonder why I didn't get Tom Atkins. If it was Halloween 3, for this movie, Tom Atkins would have been a good character for some way.
Well, he would have been way too old. He was already, I mean, fuck, he looked old in the fucking 80s, 82 and shit.
Yeah. They used him on season 5 of Oz.
I've never seen Oz. So, no clue. But, yeah, fucking Tom Atkins and everything's badass. So, I mean, but what's it called? I enjoyed the fuck out of this film. I can watch it. Like, I know it's a bad acting, but I always enjoy it anyway. But I guess
Let me ask you a quick question. And I may have missed this, and even as much as I watched it, I never really paid attention to it. By any chance, did they ever give a reason or understanding what made them think that they beat it in the first place?
Just that they started... They don't. Yeah, no, they don't. From what I remember, or from what I... like from. All this is like they kind of make up the rules as they go along, so it's whatever they believe. So if they believe they killed it, then that's all the belief that they need, because, you know, the same way is that, oh, it's silver, we can kill it, you know, or this is battery. So what it's like, whatever they believe is to be true is true. That's, you know, that kind of like it's a lot like Freddy, to where if you know, they give Freddy the power, then he's going to have the power. If they take it away, then of course he doesn't have it. So they thought they killed it, and I kind of like, that's how I understood it, but I think it kind of just went away because he was weak, and like, regardless of what they thought, is that, you know, he just went away because it was like, all right, you know, time to chill out. It's time to go anyway. So they didn't really, do shit to him. He just kind of got to put his ass in the park.
Cause I kind of remember that from like the reboot, and it was funny because like when I watched the reboot many times also, and they figured out, they're like, hey, he goes to sleep every 20 something years, and then he wakes up to feed again, and he does this, and we'll be prepared for him next time. And I was thinking about it, I was like, did they ever mention that shit the first time?
No.
I don't remember them actually saying that they figured out like his routine. They just said like, yeah, we beat him, battery acid. He went down the drain hole and he's done, you know.
They actually didn't in this one. They didn't say anything. They're all, like you said, they're all under the understanding that he's dead and he's gone. But if it isn't dead, you know, we'll all come back. And that's the only thing they really say about it. But yeah, they have no clue it's going to be 27 years or anything like that. Yeah.
Right. All they did was give him a quarter century to regroup.
Yeah. Fucking. The sad part, I also want to throw it in, is like Stan is too scared to come back. And when the first one ended and he killed himself, I was pissed off. I'm like, what the fuck? One of the guys are not going to come back, you know, and regroup. So it kind of like made me going into part two already kind of like not like it, knowing that it wasn't going to be the full posse anymore. So that's all I got to say about that.
I don't really have a lot of negative to say about this movie. I really don't. It's Stephen King. They're well-written novels, and his well-written novels translate well onto the screen. I mean, with the right directors that he uses, the right producers he uses, music, you know, cinematography, everything, it always works well. And, I mean, even into more modern Stephen King films, like if you get into, I say modern, but it's 2003, it's that Dreamcatcher.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the... Yeah, they made it seem like a spiritual thing, right? And then it was aliens.
Yeah. And it's just like even that, like even just the opening scenery, the earlier scenery where you see these guys in their own brains walking up these gigantic winding staircases, sorting out memories and shit. It's like, it's incredible. Like everything he does has that eerie, creepy kind of, I mean, you know, it's not ill will, but it just has that kind of feeling to it. You know, something's not right about something.
Well, he took a lot of drugs when he was writing those books, so.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah. So, Chris, what do you rank this bad boy, dude?
Oh man, dude, a solid 9, man. I mean, how? What else can you describe? An ABC made for TV 2-part miniseries that became a movie you can buy on various platforms, and people still to this day talk about. Like, come on. I mean, it's done so well. Like they did the '60s imagery very well. There's the lingo, the cars, the clothing. And you know it's the thing of, you know, the way kids were back then, like, you know, like the assholishness and bullying was more acceptable among school kids back in the day. We got all the anti-bullying shit, whatever. But it was true to the way things were at that time. And you know, you see these guys a quarter century later, and they meet up again, and everyone's cool. And you know, you got this the original what I call the original Freddy, because I'm pretty sure this novel was I think this novel was written in '80. If I remember right. Mm-hmm. And here's this supernatural being is joking before he fucks with people, just like Freddy. And like y'all were saying earlier, in their minds, they don't give him the power, therefore he has no power, just like they thought with Freddy. So it's like, to me, the characters are so similar.
Yeah, well, I think the way Tim Curry, who we didn't talk about too much, but he does an amazing job, but the way Tim Curry might have gotten some influence, because yeah, he had wrote the book in '86, but I mean, I'm sure it took him a few years to. Well, I think he started like in the late '70s, or started coming up with ideas about it. So, way before Freddy, but as far as like presenting him on screen, yeah, Freddy was already a known thing, and you know, Tim Curry. But Tim Curry's just being Tim Curry, I think. I don't think he. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but. That's just the way he is. When you see him on fucking Muppet Treasure Island and shit, like that's just how he is. You know what I mean? He's just a fucking, you know, over the top character with a very demanding voice and shit presence. You know, and for me, dude, like if I give it like as far as being critical about it, like oh, it's like a 7.5, right? It's like bad acting, this and that or whatever. But as far as for me and how much I like it, it has to be like a 9 out of 10, just because, yeah, I know it's bad and there's nothing like, oh, this is such a perfect, and like, you know, like when you, you know, are trying to tell people like that may not have seen horror movies or not, they didn't grow up with it, they're probably not going to like it. But I think if you grew up with it, it sticks with you different. So yeah, I'm like, for the first time in the history of Master of the Universe, Joe and Chris agree on a rating for a movie with a 9 out of 10, dude. But Gabe, what do you got to say, man?
Well, damn it. See, now you guys are going to make me the enemy in this one. See, like, this movie is good. The whole Tim Curry thing, you know, I like to read a bunch of, like, interesting horror facts and stuff like that and try to find some good solid, like, you know, reviews and things like that, and just kind of looking up to just kind of get an idea like what other people's thoughts are. But the whole idea, you know, Tim Curry choosing this role as the damn clown is that he wanted to, where he liked the idea of it and how much little screen time there was for him to appear on with very little, you know, prosthetics. Because it if you all remember, he was on Legend, he was the damn devil. And when he was the devil, he actually spent hours, like almost a full day, in just trying to get into costume with the horns, the makeup, the chin, the whole 9 yards. It was a pain in the ass. He didn't want to go that route again, but they told him, hey, this is going to require very little, pretty much of anything, and you have very little screen time. He's like, yeah, sure, why not? And being the character he is, if you've seen any of his other movies, he's kind of out there, man. He just has that voice and just the way he acts and everything. He's very he's a very good character for being a way he is. Anyways, but this movie's good. It's solid, but like I would watch this only because this is like the closest thing that I would have to It the Clown, because I'm not gonna read a 1,000-page book. I mean, it's going to have to really grab my attention. I'm going to have a lot of free time to do that. And so, honestly, this is like the closest thing I had to Pennywise, so I was like, yeah, yeah, I love this, and I'll go ahead and just watch it. Why not? But then the reboot came out, and it just has some little extra things in there that make it just more enjoyable than the original. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, no, no, the original is always the best, blah, 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 and that's cool. But in my opinion, like, you know, I got spoiled by the new one because it just has that little bit of oomph in it, the extra screaming or the extra terror or the extra thing that makes me laugh or something in comparison to what the older one does. Mm-hmm. The older one was a little slower. The times Tim Curry did actually pop out with the clown and the werewolf scenes, those were badass, but the reboot just kind of does a little bit better for me, and I got spoiled by that, and that's, I guess, I let that side take over, I guess.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to hit it with a 7.1. It is, again, my sevens are more rewatchable. They're rewatchable, and I'll sit there, and it's more like, I'm okay, sure, throw it on. I ain't got nothing else to do. You know, I'm cool with watching it. I'd rather watch this than watch a love story or watch some kind of, you know, something else. I'll go ahead and rewatch it. If I give anything an 8, I'm definitely going to rewatch it because I'm going to be like, yeah, you know, I'm personally just interested in it. And then straight out 9s and above, those are definitely must watch where I'm just like, I'm just enthusiastic about it. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, this is flat out cool. So yeah, 7.1, guys.
It's all good, man. No, I mean, when I saw the remake, I mean, like, it made me not like this film because seeing all the things they did better, but then coming back to it and then letting it settle and marinate, I was like, well, there's a lot of things I love about the remake that they do that this film doesn't. There's a lot of things about this film that I like that the remake doesn't do. Like, as far as Pennywise being, like, as over as just with no gimmicks, just him and stuff. I mean, he's a gimmick, but, you know, without all the effects and shit like that, he's like, I mean, it's fucking amazing. Like, I could only imagine how much better, like, the performance would be given, like, all the stuff that they're able to do nowadays. And, like, I still like it, but I'm like, his performance without all that is so good. You know, Tim Curry, I'm talking about it. But I love the kids in the remake. They make the film what it is. Without them, it's not even close to being a good film, I think, just because they're that damn good. They're that damn good that you, like, you know, you want to be a part. You know, that's me as a kid, like, talking all that shit, you know. So, anyway, CJ, you got to be shitting me that mother strong. Season 4. We're on season 4 of Master of the Universe. Our first
season 4.
Yeah, our first episode of the year, 77,
this is 77.
Yeah, but it's our first episode of 2022. First episode of season 4, so mm-hmm. So it's a, you know, little fake firecracker, but I hope you guys enjoyed it, and we'll see you on the next one.
Man, you gotta be shitting me. That mother's strong.
Peace.
Peace.
I'm out.